All right. If you just needed a reminder today about how good God is, I want to let you know. Today did not go as planned at all. My kids have this program that they're going to, and they woke up with sore throats. They were at a friend's house, and apparently they got part of what I had because they both told me we had sore throats. And so, but they had this program that I signed them up for, and I took them anyway, and they're still there, so I gave them my number. You know, so far so good. But I got home and I was getting ready to come down here to my office, start reading scriptures and preparing for this podcast. And I already knew what I was going to talk about, and I had mentioned on Twitter that I wasn't sure what song, because I knew I had used the word duplicity in one of my songs. And it's no pat on my back, the amount of songs that I had to look through. But here's the thing, it's a daunting task to try to look through all of them. And so I was just, you can only praise God over that, because half the time I'm listening to stuff, like recently I've been trying to maybe get a little set together for Christmas. And I just think, when I think about the songs I was writing in high school, I mean, no, they're not grade A or anything, but they are a hills and valleys better than what I was writing in high school. So we can only give credit where credit's due here, and that's to the Lord Jesus. So, but anyway, all these songs I had to look through to try to find this song where I said duplicity, where I knew I had written it somewhere, and but I wasn't sure where. And this morning, I sliced my wrist with one of those pull top cans. You know, you flip over the tab and you pull it up and you get like your cashews or your peanuts or whatever. Well, they're deadly. And they proved it today. One of them proved it today. It was falling out of the cupboard while I was trying to put stuff in, and I pushed it back with my forearm, and you can just imagine what happened. And I could see the tendon. It was sliced. So I'm standing, I'm pacing the floor of my kitchen, wondering what I'm going to do. I can't drive like this, and I'm ultra independent. So, but I have good neighbors, and one of my neighbors, she's a nurse, and she bandaged it up. And then my other neighbor, who should have been working, she works from home, she drove me all the way to the hospital. That's like a half-hour drive, 40-minute drive. She went way out of her way. And, no, it just was not part of my plans. I'm still sick, sorry. Not part of my plans to do this, and it was like 45-minute bus ride back, and I forgot a coat, and it's a cold fall day, and what a mess, but I'm still happy. That's how good God is. It's not really dependent on what we're going through. I'm not saying that it wasn't annoying, and I'm not saying that I could have been doing better things than trotting all over Heidelberg without a coat. But little stuff, like I still have this, I wouldn't say drainage, like my body's still trying to clear out stuff. And so it's really like, you know, it's mucus. I won't go any further. And I did not have Kleenex. I mean, I ran out of the house, right? So I'm just going in. I'm trying. I don't have any cash. I don't want to call my neighbor, because she, by the time she took me to the hospital, she was in tears. And she had like, she had hives on her neck. Her neck was turning red, and I was like, this girl's got to go. She's got to be let loose. And so I sent her home, and so I had nothing. I had no coat. I had no cash. I could not get on the bus where it stopped near the hospital. And obviously, I didn't drive myself there. And on my way to the to the bus station. There's like a big bus station. You don't need all this information. Anyway, I just want to tell you how good God is. I'm walking to the bus station. And usually, you know how when you pull out money, you have to pay a fine? Well, my husband is not into that. And if I'm pulling out a lot, I'll pay the fine. But I do not like it. And I had one of my ATMs that I didn't have to pay a fine for on the way to the bus stop. I was able to get a coffee, warm up, and then I went around the corner to this little shop just hoping to find Kleenex because it was going to be a disaster. Like, you know, when you're really sick, it's a disaster. You cannot not go. You cannot have not have Kleenex. And I was looking, it was mostly food, and then just in this little corner, there were three packages of Kleenex. And I grabbed one and an apple for less than a buck, or just a euro. Got on the bus. I didn't have to get off the bus again. Went straight home until I walked home, but the provision and the joy, but despite it, it was like a 2-minute procedure. I didn't have to get stitches. I could have done it myself. Let's just be honest here. I don't like needles, and they use tape. So here I am, with a nice gash in my wrist, and the time still to do this podcast. And the verses, like, it all just jumped. Like, I was sitting down doing devotions, which was separate from this, and just passage after passage after passage. So without further ado, we have a lot to read, okay? So this all started with this passage here in Ezra 4. Now, you don't need to ignore necessarily the context. But what you do need to do is notice the behavioral patterns more than who the characters are. Because the behavioral patterns is what we're going for today. If you're going to knock out duplicity, we are just going to highlight some of the things that we do that make us duplicitous. And one of those things is that we have put our agenda above God's agenda, whether or not we even know it. Whether or not we even know it. Now, these cats, they did not have God's agenda, and there was a distinct contrast between their agenda and the people of Israel's agenda. And you'll see how they behave. Now, the thing with duplicity and replacing God's agenda with your own agenda, even within the church, is that sometimes God will let it go. God will allow you to be duplicitous for a while. He is long-suffering, and he is gentle. But it is very sad to see even people that would be considered leaders to have a separate agenda from God's agenda and just keep going that way. And you know that everyone else, and that's what you're going to notice in this passage, is everybody else knows what's going on, and they have no idea. So let's read it. Ezra 4, the enemies of Judah and Benjamin heard that the exiles were rebuilding the temple to the Lord, the God of Israel, the only true God. So they approached, that was the only true God was what I said. So they approached Zerubbabel and the other leaders and said, I love that name. I should get another fish and name it that. Let us build with you, for we worship your God just as you do. We have sacrificed to him ever since King Esarhaddon, okay, of Assyria brought us here. Okay, so they're in the house, okay? And they are telling stories. The thing about being duplicitous is that you've got to tell stories to keep up appearance. And you may not even realize you're doing it, but you have switched agendas out, and that's what you have to hold up. You are when you have not let go, you have to hold up an agenda. And these burdens are hard to carry. Okay? Anything. There's no gray area. So you are either for or against what God is doing. So within the church, within the camp, we all know, and it is obvious, that some people come to church with their own agenda. And the thing about it, it is not benign. You have to work at it. You have to work at keeping it up. And you start telling stories. And whatever you feel that you need to present, you present. It becomes a game. It becomes dishonest. But Zerubbabel, Joshua, and the other leaders of Israel replied, "You may have no part in this work." So somebody smells the fish. "We alone will build the temple for the Lord, the God of Israel, just as King Cyrus of Persia commanded us." Then the local residents tried to discourage and frighten the people of Judah to keep from their work. They bribed agents to work against them and to frustrate their plans. Ultimately, you're working against God. And the thing about duplicity is that it might not be outright sin. It is an agenda you're holding on to that is against God's. And it's never benign. And you will always end up throwing somebody under the bus. Always. There are casualties when it's not God's agenda. Write it down somewhere. I make casualties when the agenda is mine. Not death, necessarily, but you will throw people under the bus. This was my MO. I was doing all I could. My agenda was not God's. And I could tell a story. I didn't mean to tell a story. I didn't wake up and say, I'm going to go lie to people. That wasn't it. I wasn't planning evil. What I was working hard to keep up an agenda. You know, that's what I feel like we get sucked into with social media. Is that without knowing it, we start putting on a face. We start thinking we have to say something clever. We start, our whole lives get wrapped up in this presentation. Yes or no? And before we realize it, we're nothing but a newsfeed. Can people get past the newsfeed with you? Whatever you want people, hey, I'm first in line. I'm first in this club, this recovery club. Can people get past the newsfeed with you? Whatever you want to present to them. You always have a flashy statement. You always make people laugh. You always have to keep people at arm's length. They can never get past the newsfeed. What you want them to know about you is in the newsfeed. Go check the newsfeed. It's an agenda you have to hold up, and there will be casualties because there will be real needs you are disregarding that is part of God's agenda. This is really convicting for me. There will be real people hurting that are part of God's agenda. The Samaritan, the Good Samaritan story. Do you know this? Where this guy's wounded, and in Jewish culture, Samaritans were like outcasts. They were just not part of the club. And so all these guys with that couldn't get dirty enough because they had agendas pass this guy by, except for the Good Samaritan. Real hurting people that are part of God's agenda, that God wants you to intervene on behalf of. And get tossed under the bus because you've switched out something. This went on during the entire reign of King Cyrus of Persia and lasted until King Darius of Persia took the throne. So, same thing happened. Years later, when Xerxes began his reign, the enemies of Judah wrote a letter of accusation against the people of Judah and Jerusalem. Now, this is going on for years. So, they then try to angle, and they try to, it was a PR move that they made, public relations move that they made. And they try to tell the king and twist the fake news. They twist the facts and they paint these, the Jews as someone that's rebellious and that, you know, what they're planning is totally against you and you need to squelch it. The thing is, and the saddest verse in here is verse 24. So the work on the temple of God in Jerusalem had stopped, and it remained at a standstill until the second year of the reign of King Darius of Persia. Not always will God stop you and your agenda. And this is, if you are a leader, if you are trying to lead people, and you got this agenda switch, and you duplicitous, this should be very sobering. If you've never wanted to reconcile with this issue in your life, if keeping up those walls is good enough for you, this should be very sobering. Because God will let you do that, maybe, for a while. But do you know what that means? That means that you have not taken part in God's kingdom. You might have gone your whole ministry without doing the things God wanted you to do. That's sad. I mean, it's hard enough to be a Christian. It's got to be excruciating to be a Christian and then haul around our own agenda. I mean, I can't think of a worse plight because I've tried it. No thanks. No thanks. So let's get to some resolve here. We're going to look at a couple of things. This is in Psalm. Just to highlight Paul here first. First, we're going to go to Romans 9. I want you to see what sincerity looks like. Sincerity isn't just, I checked myself and I didn't kill anybody today, so I'm good. Because you and I both know our consciences can be seared. We can train our consciences. You know what the deciding factor is? Whether or not we are down a path where we're on our own, doing our own thing, is this. With Christ as my witness, verse 1 of Romans 9, I speak with utter truthfulness. I speak with utter truthfulness. My conscience and the Holy Spirit confirm it. If you just think of the Holy Spirit, or you don't think of him at all, But you think of the Holy Spirit as a sideline issue, or you don't concern him with your church stuff, you might have a problem. Because you have not invited in the person that Jesus has given us to convict us, to guide us, to show us, to interpret God's word, and to speak to him in prayers on our behalf. If this is not part of your modus operandi, you might be duplicitous. You might be running a game show. It's your conscience and the Holy Spirit. If you want to be truthful. And another reference is Psalm 51. Someone who is duplicitous for a long time was David. Be encouraged. A long time. A long time. He lived with duplicity. And if you struggle with this, letting the walls down and letting go of your agenda, visit Psalm 51 and make that your prayer. But here we are in Psalm 28. I don't know if I'm going to read this next, but it's verse 3. Do not drag me away with the wicked, with those who do evil, those who speak friendly words to their neighbors while planning evil in their hearts. Give them the punishment they so richly deserve. Measure it out in proportion to their wickedness. Pay them back for all their evil deeds. Give them a taste of what... So obviously this is a victim of someone who was duplicitous. Give them a taste of what they have done to others. They have no idea what they have done. In a lot of cases, they're really busy, and they're really busy holding up that agenda. Really busy. I don't have time for you. I have my agenda. This is absolutely, I'm in that AA meeting. They care nothing for what God has done. There must be a shift. There must be a shift from what I'm doing to what God has done and will do. I pre-decided I'm going to do all this stuff is not concern for what God has done, for what the Lord has done, or what his hands have made. So he will tear them down and they will never be rebuilt. So Ezra 5. God's agenda is going to prevail. And lest we be concerned, we're going to go back to Ezra, the next chapter, and this is verse 1. At the time, the prophets Haggai and Zechariah, son of Iddo, prophesied to the Jews and Judah and Jerusalem. They prophesied in the name of God of Israel, who was over them. Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and Yeshua, son of Jehozadak, responded by starting again to rebuild the temple of God in Jerusalem. And the prophets of God were with them and helped them. It will prevail. You cannot displace God's work. You cannot thwart God's work. You cannot change God's work. You cannot use God's work for yourself. God's work moves on. God's work goes forward. And God wins. And it's way easier in a matter of speaking to not try to hold up our own thing. Take it from someone who is a control freak. Let's pray. I really need to pray, and I really want to make sure that was, despite all the sniffing and the snarling and all that, I just, I pray that that was communicated well. God, I pray that we would learn that one of the main reasons we're duplicitous is because we've done an agenda switch. And we pre-decided something, and we're not willing to let go of it, and we got to keep people at a distance. I pray we would not get sucked into the agenda that is behind social media, and it is there. Whether or not we choose to let it dominate our lives is up to us. And I pray that we would not try to display things that aren't. Be people we're not. Do things we're not called to. In Jesus' name, amen.